you've got light for 12 hours, and of course, a flashlight and batteries. Some of the tools you're going to need include this 5-in-1 emergency whistle. This 5-in-1 whistle contains a flint fire starter, a signal mirror, a compass to find your way should you be lost, and also a waterproof matchbox for your strike anywhere matches, and of course, a whistle. The next tool you're going to want is this 13-function knife, 13 functions for at least 13 problems. Next up, we have an emergency gas wrench. Tie this to your gas meter outside your home, and after the quake, if you smell gas, snap it off and turn it off. And to protect yourself from the mess after a quake, we have gloves and dust masks. The kit also includes the most basic first aid kit for the most basic of needs. And speaking of basic needs, toilet paper. To help you with these basic needs, this bucket also doubles as a toilet. Just snap that on here and you're ready to go. Last but not least, enzymes. Just toss these in the toilet and they'll help neutralize the odors.
And there you have it, the Emergency Essentials Earthquake Emergency Kit.
Hey everyone, today I'm going to kick off my apartment prepping series starting.
Listening to CITR 101.9 broadcasting beyond odd from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Protein pills and put your helmet on.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association networks across British Columbia and across Canada. We will have our station IDs at the end of the program. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin-Gloggs. How are you today, Michael?
I am doing well. It helps if I put the mic in front of me, doesn't it? Holy crow.
Exactly.
What's wrong with me?
What's wrong with... I don't know. So, tell us about what we're doing today.
Well, as soon as I find some internet, into the station's internet connection.
Energy net.
We will play the Rich Coleman barbecue speech.
Yes.
And
maybe we should play that now before we have Paul on board.
Yeah, because Paul's going to join us, and we're going to talk about some of the things that Rich talked about,
right?
Because some of the things are same old, and
sounds like you have a lot of stuff on Facebook.
We're stalling till we got the because I had no internet and I couldn't find, I brought it on a USB but I couldn't find it.
We'll play that thing first, and Paul, stand by, we are going to get to you afterwards. I know you're on the air right now, so we'll get back to you in a moment, and
okay.
We'll play the thing if you can.
Sure.
So okay. Do you have the thing ready?
It's coming.
Okay, so
I thought I had it, but
yeah. So just let people know that we are broadcasting on three stations on the National Campus and Radio Association networks, And yeah, so we've introduced our show, the new show onto Nanaimo. Again, that's CHLY. Thank you very much for participating in the show. We that was loud. Holy. Are you ready to go?
We're all set now.
Okay, we're ready to go. So please hold on and we will have the thing going. Ready?
Ready?
All right.
Go.
Marjorie's at about her 21st barbecue. Where's Marjorie? Here. Hurry! Oh, she had to go! Okay. Are the aliens here?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. I never saw Marjorie and Derek, and I know that Ida sat over with them, so these three, would you please stand up? Those two got me to join my first political party. And they moved to the BC Liberals with me when we moved, and they are the reason they stuck with me for the last 21 years. So thank you for the gift. I really particularly thankful for the gift that you gave me on Friday, but sometimes things aren't perfect. Okay, I like to do this myself every barbecue, so I'm going to do it. I have a number of colleagues here today. I have a number of other people that ran for us in the last election, some people from local government. And I think we got you all. But if I miss a mayor or a counselor from another community after we're done, please let me know you're here. I think we got all my colleagues. Somebody had this job to do. So hopefully they got it right. So we are gifted in Victoria, you know, in spite of some of the challenges we've had, to have a phenomenal group of new people, mature people that have been there a long time, and people that have been in between. These guys have been working very hard to build their get ready to do their critical role in their portfolios, to hold this government to account, because we want to make sure they're gone as quickly as possible. Come together in spite of the results of an election, knowing that they have a job to do on behalf of the people of the province of BC and those that elected them. So I'll start out with Ian Payton, who's here with his wife Pam from South Delta. Ian? Michelle Stelwell, a person who has won gold medals at, I think it was 4 Paralympics in a row. Was here earlier, could have had to leave because she has a friend in hospital in Vancouver. But Michelle Stillwell, please recognize her. I haven't told this guy how tough a job it is to be the whip of the official opposition versus being the whip in government, because in government you do have some things you can give and take. So it's going to take all of his guile and patience and everything to be our whip for the next year going forward. Eric Foster and his wife Janice are here. From Surrey South, Stephanie Cadu. Where are you, Steph? From Richmond, Steveston, John Yap. Where are you, Johnny? I bet you the selfie he took with me is already on the internet. From Vancouver Langara, Michael Lee. Michael? Lori Thomas, where are you, Lori? Andrew Wilkinson is here. Andrew, how are you? Abbotsford Mission. This guy's funny. He's always got a joke for you whenever you see him, whenever you're traveling with him. Simon Gibson is here. Simon?
Valley
guys in your cowboy hats for crying out loud.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Only in your dreams, pal. Only in your dreams. Probably he's already posted about this event on Facebook and on Twitter, and probably will be sending pictures of you so shortly from North Vancouver Seymour. Jane Thorthwaite is here. Where is he? Queen of the internet, right? From Canada, South Thompson, Todd Stone. There you go. A few other people from up in the Kamloops area here today. It's good to see you guys. People come from all over the province to go to this event, actually. So, but it's good to see you all. From the landslide of Coquitlam, Burke Mountain. Wiped them out by about 80 votes or whatever the number was over there and got our seat in the northeast sector. Joan Isaacs is here. Also, sorry, I missed Christina Lee. Christina, give me a wave. I'm sorry I missed you. That's the only mistake I made today. It's a good day. After Joan comes a guy who you'll see shortly because he's going to say grace for us, but he's him and his wife Ruth are here, Marvin Hunt from Surrey Corridor. Now, the next individual hasn't been to this barbecue. She's been standing me up for about 8 years. Wouldn't come. Mind you, she wasn't allowed to either. For 4 years, because it was actually 4 years, because she was the Speaker of the House. Linda Reed is here. Oh, yeah. For Linda. My office beside me is with this guy. He's our House Leader. We go back 21 years. Actually met him before I ran, and I met him when he ran the first time in a by-election. Mike DeYoung from Abbotsford West is here today. Mike. Where's your cowboy hat? Oh, actually, okay, because you actually come into the older girl very a little bit. We don't have to brag about how we are Western.
Cowboy hat messed
up
my hair.
They messed up your hair. Some call Rogaine for that, Mike. When we charge $5 a haircut over here, somebody was going to be here today, but her dad got sick last night. She's starting to get him settled, so she would be able to be in Victoria tomorrow. Mary Polak couldn't make it. Now, the team you got here are people who have had the success in election. They represent you and the party and the future of the party in Victoria. They don't get to run if they don't have other colleagues that also run for election in British Columbia. So there are six people here today that manifested in the last election that weren't successful. They were successful in their own right, but unfortunately we didn't win their seats. But they've given a lot to us. First gentleman I want to introduce you is Sanus North in the Islands. His name is Stephen Roberts. He's run for us twice to try and get that seat, and someday it's going to come back to us and get away from the Green Party member or any notion that there should be one there. So Stephen, where are you? I understand she was a door-knocking machine. She worked very hard in the last election. She is in Surrey. Sarjeet Cheema is here. Surrey? Go ahead. In Delta North, Scott Hamilton was with us for 4 years as an MLA. Scotty also knows that the guy that's in Delta North right now hasn't got a long lifespan as an MLA simply because the people in Delta North really do want that tunnel replaced.
Yeah.
Maybe you want it. Guy that served 2001 to.
Well, we can have all our thanks and all we want from Rich Coleman anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, Here's a good place to break in because he's talking about the he made a comment about the tunnel.
Yes. George Massey Tunnel.
Tunnel, yeah. And I'm not going to entirely disagree with him that people want something to happen with the tunnel because it is getting old.
Mm-hmm. But unlike the NDP campaign, mostly the NDP campaign, they want to eliminate the tolls altogether, right?
Yeah, then that was the thing. The thing is the Liberals want something there that's going to add to the tolls. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a toll is nothing but a road tax.
Mm.
And if Kelowna and... Well, I'm going to use Kelowna because I actually walked across that bridge,
right.
And it's a pretty expensive bridge. If that could have been paid for without tolling it, then why do we have to extend long term tolls on
other bridges
and tunnels and things? Mm. So,
John Oregon's approach is the traditional BC approach, where infrastructure projects are covered by the province, not just by local communities.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree with that. But I mean, also the bridge is an incredibly expensive way to replace the tunnel, which they could just fix up the tunnel and not have to build.
Right. That's Paul Gilbert, as we're talking to right now. He's also the BC Disability Caucus Group. Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you.
Yeah. I agree with you, Paul. That the tunnel could be fixed. It could be twinned with minimal cost without mm-hmm. building this huge. They want to build another super bridge, like the Port Man,
mm-hmm.
and the expense to Surrey, because everybody, one, they have to divert the traffic away from that area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the traffic going to go? It's got to go through Surrey.
Yep.
Because that's the next municipality road-wise that it can go to. So you're actually adding a lot more stress on to Surrey while you're building it, and then when you're finished building it, because you've put a toll on it, people are going to avoid it, and they're going to use Alex Fraser, this again adding more stress to the commute through Surrey.
Mm-hmm.
And actually because that's the area in which I live, living in South Surrey, living in South Surrey, White Rock, and having to travel through either over the Massey Tunnel or either through the Massey Tunnel or over the Alex Fraser Bridge, since they have lifted the toll on their bridges, miraculously, people actually did live closer to the Port Man are mm-hmm. actually using it, and traffic is being relieved through the Massey Tunnel and the Alex Fraser.
Paul?
Well, yes. I mean, these design areas for flowing traffic from one place to another don't have to be incredibly expensive crown and jewels in the crown jewels of the province. They can be reasonable, cost effective, mm-hmm. and not create a traffic nightmare for people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and that's the point of what John Horgan was getting at. He wanted to make sure that people were able to get to and for work, without having to give up an even larger chunk to the government. Let's face it, as far as commuting is concerned, commuters pay a very hefty carbon tax just to fill the tanks up.
When you consider that Vancouver is the most expensive place to live in the province, And that added cost is just a bit too much. They should be trying to, and in line with poverty reduction and making things more affordable, the burden of building infrastructure should be borne by the entire province. It's just, that's the way it's always been done, and we don't need to start nickel. I mean, the it's understandable that the Liberals would put tolls on bridges around the Vancouver area since nobody there votes for them.
Mm. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And we also have issues on TransLink as well. I know one of the bridges linking to Western Island, speaking of Delta anyways, Western Island Bridge is getting replaced because it's getting old and it's getting, you know, rickety, and a lot of dairy farmers and a lot of farming goes across that Western Island Bridge almost like every day, mm-hmm. for that matter. And that is another alternative commute that's not like a major setback on any of the major bridges, but it's kind of a minor route connection to Western Island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd hate to see people take somehow get off that road going into the bridge and coming into the city and go along the River Road and try and along in North Delta, right?
Yeah.
Delta. That would be a traffic nightmare.
It would be.
It's a traffic nightmare every morning.
Yeah, you commute from White Rock. Yeah, of course. So,
when they upgraded some of the roads there, they didn't consider, when they engineered some of the turns or curves as you come off the off ramps and everything onto Highway 17 in that area, they did not consider truck traffic. And they engineer the turns too tight. So there's at least like once or twice a month there's a flip truck because because he thought the turn was gonna go one way, and oops, now he's flipped it. He's flipped his trailer, and
he doesn't know what to do or anything.
Yeah. Well, he's got to sit there and wait for rescue to come get him off the road now.
Yeah.
It's like, if you do that during rush hour, you do that during non-rush hour traffic, and it ties up for hours.
Lots of hours.
Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of truck traffic going into the Delta port.
Mm.
You know? Well, where else are they going to load the ships?
Or going along the Interstate 5 in the States. That could be another one, major setup as well.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some serious ups and downs in that area with as far as the traffic is concerned. In just getting, and that's, we haven't even got to the Massey Tunnel yet.
Yeah.
That's just getting to the Massey Tunnel, getting through.
But not only
North
that,
Delta.
It's the counterflow.
Yeah.
During peak hours.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you're going from White Rock to Vancouver and in the city in one way, it's three lanes. If you're leaving from Vancouver to White Rock in the PM, it's three lanes as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And all those wonderful traffic dump bunches coming off the ferries.
Yes.
Yeah. That's also one of them. So
at least we know that the provincial government, the Liberal provincial government, won't be around to design a bridge that will dump snow on cars and cause deaths.
Oh, snow could be worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they did with the other trip. That their other jewel.
The Port Man, where there was a budget cut. Cut the de-icer.
Oh yes, through
the
cable.
Off
cable state.
Yeah, off the cables. And they came up with a very well engineered system of dropping chains down the cables where crews have to actually climb up to the top of the bridge, drop a chain down the cable. And so during the wintertime, there are no HOV lanes on the Port Man because that's where the ice is going to fall.
Mm. Well, on that note, I'm going to have to leave it for just
we'll
a moment.
We'll move on to the next issue.
Yeah,
when we come
so
back.
When we come back. Yes. So you're tuning into the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Networks. Can you hold on for a moment there, Paul?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. So we'll be back in a moment. You're tuning into the Community Living Show. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located on East Mall between Brock Hall and Irving K. Barber. If you buy a bike from us, bring it back to us when you're done, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took good care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you. Yeah, you heard me right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs. For more information about our buyback policy, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Do you want to start it from here, or do you want to?
You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. I'm Kelly. Across from me is Michael, and on the phone is Paul Gilbert, who's a member of the BC Disability Caucus. And we were talking about Rich Coleman and about the explaining of the bridge.
Yeah.
Do you have any more clips?
Yeah, let's play the next part. He's actually going to finish up his acknowledgments here, and then move on to another issue.
Sure. Okay.
I'm Angie Crawley, who's a barbecue king. You can also have a cook for nobody's business. She's got a little place in town here called Seasons, and she's been a great help with us. Sometimes we want to do little events, so it works with my writing a lot. Where is Angie? Somebody could be taping this, so you gotta be more enthusiastic out there.
You can see the
also from the counselor Katrina Arneson, whose mother I knew when she was a counselor back in the day. So you don't want trouble. You can go to this guy. Actually, the reason I want to say something about him because this guy came to me a couple years ago and said one of his goals would be to try and have some kind of transition housing for youth in a youth center for people who get to the street homeless. He got the land from the city and he got to work with Bitco. Sorry. It's all one city to me, okay? A little cantankerous, but you can forgive him for that. Sorry, Charlie, from the township of Langley. Anyways, it's under construction now, and it wasn't for his leadership and a group of young people that actually were the people that actually led the project to come to the various levels of government, it wouldn't have happened. There's now going to be shortly in this community youth having counseling, transition housing, be able to transition them from homelessness into housing, permanent housing and other things for them, and counseling for drug and alcohol and other things because of the hard work of Charlie. So Charlie Clark. Did I miss anybody?
All right. You just heard from Rich Coleman the barbecue party that was happened in Langley.
Yes, it was in the Langley Township. It's well, he's Langley East, right?
Yes.
So,
and he still is in Langley East.
Yeah, he still is in Langley East. Yes,
but in the opposition side. So
yes, you just heard him make a statement about housing, mm-hmm. and
Before you mention about social housing, Paul, you've heard the clip, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
Well, it seems to my take is generally that it's a rah-rah session where they're blaming the NDP for everything they can think of, and mm-hmm. Talking about the fact that they won't be there much longer. Mm. He's encouraging the Liberals not to lose faith because the NDP is just a blip, mm-hmm. and repeating the illegitimate government line. With the Speaker, the Christy Clark, not being in the legislature any longer, the NDP has a nice cushion there. But when Daryl Plekis decided to become the Speaker, they got an extra cushion, and people are projecting that Liberals will be fleeing their party rather than sitting in government in opposition for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
I think the NDP is pretty safe.
I would agree with that. And while somewhere in here, I think he does actually take a jab at Daryl. I can't remember right offhand, but Daryl is a very community minded person, and he has helped quite a number of projects that I know of that I've actually gotten volunteered or got involved with. He's helped them find homes in the Abbotsford Aldergrove areas. You know, it's he thinks about what the community needs and tries to ensure that the businesses or the services are actually appear, however way he can get it there is my take on Daryl, especially after shaking his hand during the walk and the road trip with the Fibromyalgia Wellspring.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and he's a professor and professor at the University College of the Fraser Valley. He built up his department. He's in criminology, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and made it into a master's program.
Yeah.
So his involvement with that community runs deep.
Yeah. So what do you think about what Rich was saying about the housing project? Is like he focuses on one project, but how many other projects did to help homelessness in the downtown east side and across British Columbia did the BC Liberals actually help develop?
Well, Rich Coleman, his famous line until the last year of their government was that the BC government is not in the business of building houses.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he's they've done very little except for multiple promises just before the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government as well. There should have been a lot more pressure on the federal government to re-enter the housing market because they stepped out of it decades back, and now there is more pressure on them to do that. The NDP has promised to put up 114,000 new rental co-op social and housing, et cetera. I don't think that's enough, but to actually offset the fact that the provincial government has been using for several decades now the housing prices in Vancouver to drive the economy with, to increase investment in the economy. We've got a nice note on the Disability Caucus page that goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a government policy to actually have the housing in Vancouver and increase economic activity, and it's been a bad policy, but you're not going to get any NDPers take credit for it.
Mm. Yeah.
But building more housing is the only way we can actually deal with it and bring the prices down.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's kind of the housing, affordable housing, isn't exactly in existence in especially in the lower mainland.
No, no. The house that we I moved into sometime in the 70s, I think, would cost $200,000. Now it's over $1 million. Mm-hmm. So, no, they're... The prices have gone way above inflation and way beyond the capacity of the market. And there was a little housing bubble bursting last week, I think it was, where housing took a dive. If you're in the market for the long term, and it doesn't really necessarily affect you, but the people who are buying houses to flip them naturally got hurt. But yeah. I find it hard to have sympathy for people who are in the housing market to flip houses and cause the prices to go up.
Yeah. There's a lot of sympathy for that sort of thing. What do you think of, what's her name? Because he mentioned Coquitlam, how they took a seat back in Coquitlam, but the Minister of Housing, Selena Robinson, I think it is, right?
Yes.
She's in Coquitlam, and she's come up with new rules for landlords.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, they're working on that. I don't think we've seen the whole scale of what the government is planning on doing with landlords, but they're reducing the amount so that the prices can go up next year, mm-hmm. which is necessary because they're bumping what they were going to go up 4%. My rent goes up this next month already, and has every year since I've been here. But I think they would get support for a rental freeze if they actually brought one in. Much of the population would support a freeze on rents until we're trying to deal with the poverty in BC.
Yeah, I know that that I had to deal with. I've watched. My rent over the years slowly approached $1,000 a month, and the only reason why I'm not paying over $1,000 a month for because we live in a manufactured home, the mm-hmm. reason why our lot rent isn't over $1,000 because if you're a newcomer into our community, I think the rents are starting out at $1,100.
Wow.
And it's because we've been there for like a long number of years, and that's the reason why we haven't gone over $1,000 a month. But yeah, there's got to be a cap to this. I've seen this in other areas in the US and back east in Canada, where the rents just keep getting astronomically too high, and somebody has to step in and come up with some kind of rent control.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that we've lost doctors. I've seen two locums coming to the city and leave again in the last year because they can't afford to live here in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bad when a doctor with the same amount of money a doctor makes finds Victoria too expensive. And there's people living in Victoria that work on minimum wage, and there's lots of people on disability and income assistance as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they survive. Well, I know how they survive. They all rent together in a big house or something mm-hmm. when they can.
Yeah, and... There's a lot of rules around. Now, let's get back to Langley East for a second. In the township of Langley, there is a ruling where you cannot have a boarding house or I think it's group home. There's actually a bylaw against such things existing. Mm. Especially in the ALR, which is the farmland, where you can't have those kind of situations because I've known some people trying to build projects to help develop low income housing for people with disabilities, and they're halted because it looks like a group home instead of a bunch of people just trying to make an affordable situation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I remember watching a housing forum in Langley a couple of years ago, and they had all sorts of suggestions from the audience and the as municipal council or the municipal government people took it away, and I don't think they did anything with it. But
mm-hmm.
it is a concern there. Housing in Langley is pretty expensive considering how far it is away from work. Usually, there's not a lot of work in Langley.
Oh, it is a smaller area. You know, like the area I live in is. If you don't wind up with a job in a restaurant or one of the limited hotels that are in the area, there's not a whole heck of a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to travel all the way back to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to find other work. You know, there's a lot. And then, granted, at the same time, there's a lot of entrepreneurs in the area that I live also. So,
mm-hmm.
so, but. That's not always a viable idea either. Starting up your own business is not always a viable idea for people. So,
yeah. Well, and a lot of people just aren't caught up for entrepreneurship.
Yeah, you know, it takes a definite mindset there.
We're going to take a break in a moment. So, okay. Paul, can we put you on hold again?
Sure.
All right. So we'll be back on the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Networks. You are tuned to the Community Living Show. The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show.
Hold of some pigskin. This is my shimmering life prize. All I must do is create a diversion. What could distract people who love sports? Sports! 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 Sports.
Do you find sports distracting? Feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM.
Yes, yes, you and I rocking with the best, 101.9 CITR Radio. Crimes and Treasons, this is your boy Just Blaze. Right now you're rocking with Jules Andre Brown, Rolly Bells, Jamal Steels, and Horsepower. You know what it is, right?
Yo, I am Sue, man. I want to shout out Crimes and Treasons Radio, man. CITR 101.9, man.
This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Cloggs. And on the phone is Michael Gilbert.
Paul Gilbert.
Paul, I'm sorry.
You know, it's an ongoing joke on this show about how Kelly and I butcher people's names.
Yeah, and I'm starting.
Or we stumble over words in their intro. So
I'm starting to feel that motion already. Oh,
here we go.
Oh, I failed again.
If it's hard to remember first person's names, then just give everybody the same name.
Yeah, there it is. Right. So, you know, let's just go at it this way, because somewhere in this speech, and maybe I'll find some place to actually put it up on our Facebook or something like that, where people can actually listen to the whole thing, because it's a half hour long, and there's something that, Paul and I really need to, we really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of this. And it's about BC, Site C, resources, raping land. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Paul?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was trying to find where Rich Coleman did actually talk about that when the BC Liberals, I'm going to put this in quotation marks, get back into power again, and a reformed government that, of course, they're going to push forward with Site C and also with LNG. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul, we had talked about some of the hazards to that, especially with the LNG. We talked about seismic activity. Is that correct?
Yes, and water pollution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need clean water. It's just sort of an essential element of life. And to think that Rich Coleman directly addresses the fact that these communities, there's a great deal of poverty in some of these communities in northern BC, but they have to wait for LNG. And the trade-off is that they have to have polluted water and seismic activity. I mean, why do you need and an LNG sector that's not making a profit?
Right.
It just doesn't really make sense that they've got this one-size-fits-all thing for the province and they're forcing it on it without actually looking at the fact that people can make money in a number of different ways through secondary processing or any number of ways.
Yeah. You and Kelly both grew up here, and I grew up in a different part of
in the States.
In the States, in a different part of North America. Why is it that the mindset is, hey, let's sell our raw resource instead of process them to an intermediate state, and then sell it to somewhere else, export it somewhere else?
I'll let Paul answer that one.
Well, that's been a problem I've been watching my entire political life, which started when I was 13. Mm-hmm. And the Canadian elite want to sell our raw resources. And they also own our media and the politicians from the two main parties have always been their friends. So what we end up with is a policy where we rip and ship. I mean, even to the point of shipping raw logs that we have the capacity to cut up into little, smaller pieces here.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's not forget the social credit party that happened when W.A.C. Bennett was in power in British Columbia. And maybe you can talk about that kind of era, how W.A.C. Bennett was interested in many different companies.
Well, W.A.C. Bennett, they I wasn't, that was before I was 13, but
okay.
But yeah, they built a lot of roads, they built a lot of dams, mm-hmm. They did a lot of infrastructure projects, and a lot of ministers had families that did a lot of construction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The roots of the Social Credit Party is evangelical fascism.
Right.
That's the way they sort of operated things, top down sort of approach.
But mainly it was more investment to the globalization people saying, hey, BC, we are here, we are available to the world, to the people of British Columbia.
Yeah, and they were opening up the capacity for resource exploitation, mm-hmm. to a large extent. That was their game plan, and they did a good job of it.
Yeah,
they didn't address a lot of the issues that could have been addressed at the time, but that was their main goal, was to build infrastructure projects.
Right.
Yeah. It just seems that that it's better to you get more profit, more income, more jobs. There's a lot of upside to creating the intermediate and then shipping it, or completing a finished product and then selling it.
Value added is one of the things the NDP focused on last time they were in power, and they moved along quite a bit on that, and mm-hmm. some of the value added forestry sector still exists because of that.
Mm. Yeah.
But I mean, Ed Broadbent back probably in the 80s said you can't separate the state from the economic state.
Right.
And if we allow external interests to drive our economy and not have it driven at the interests of the population, it doesn't bode well for the population. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think the NDP's approach is going to be healthier because they'll be trying to develop things here that are natural things that people want to develop here,
mm-hmm.
Rather than just exporting our resources.
Right.
There's a lot of things that, if they're not going to build Site C, there's an awful lot of infrastructure in terms of alternate energy that we can be building here, that's a lot more cost effective and could the jobs in the green economy are booming. And yeah. We know the Americans aren't going to be competing against us.
Yeah, well, that's true too, because, well, there's something about that clown of a president that doesn't think that we should pay attention to climate change, climate evolution, or global warming, you know, however you want to put it. but you mentioned Site C, and.
Yes, well. Not economically viable. It was originally designed to fuel the LNG sector.
Yeah.
Mm. And then when that fell apart, Christy Clark was talking about how wonderful it would be to have all this power available that nobody needs. You can't, if it costs you, let's say as an analogy, it costs you $1 billion to build something, and so you have to sell at a rate that's quite, well, and you're selling at a rate that reflects that $1 billion payout.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. This Site C is costing so much. What is it? Presently, they were thinking it was about $9 billion. Probably going to be a lot more than that.
Yeah.
The cost of that electricity, the cost of producing that electricity is way higher than anybody can pay. So it's just a net loss.
Yeah, because what does that work out to be? $9 billion divided into how many homes and families that are actually in existence in British Columbia? It doesn't add up.
No.
Rich says that without Site C, that we're British Columbia is going to be starved for power.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think so.
I was suggesting years ago that if they just modified the building code and had every building that's constructed in BC have solar panels or some sort of alternate energy attached to it,
yeah,
we probably wouldn't need to be building anything to produce power for a long, long time.
Well, that's okay. Let's get into that, because
okay.
I'm a big fan of a bunch of physicists that actually say there's a big star out there that we can collect lots of energy from without without charging people a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the real point is if I was to put solar panels onto a building, as opposed to hooking them up to a grid, how do I actually make money off of them powering up even as much as like my laptop here? How do I make money off of that?
You ultimately have to connect to the grid so you can sell the electricity back to the province.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can put it in batteries and wheel it over to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's mm. the thing is companies like BC Hydro, they have an extra competition that doesn't exist right now.
Well, there's one thing that you could do. You could produce hydrogen and sell the hydrogen as a fuel.
With your
extra. Iceland uses a lot of hydrogen vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And all its only pollution is water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
That is very true.
But we have a lot of windy places. I mean, Victoria usually has wind. We could power a lot of things just by wind.
Yeah.
And solar. Yeah. As well.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The thing is, somebody said to me, is like, well, solar's no good in Vancouver. It rains too much. I said, just because it rained, does that mean that that star is no longer in existence?
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't get that dark when it rains in Vancouver.
Well, no.
It doesn't actually even matter to that, is you can still collect energy from the sun even on a moonlit night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. It doesn't take as much as what oil and gas wants you to think it does. Let's go that way.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a fib there that if you don't have a bright sunny day, that you can't collect any solar power and therefore it's useless. Mm. So thus that we can't put a solar panel on a car and motor an electric car down the road and it never hook up to a grid to collect electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also thermal. I mean, I imagine there's a lot of parts of the province. I mean, I know Harrison Hot Springs certainly could go off of thermal.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Geothermal. Oh, yeah. Of course.
You know, there's a whole lot of ways around getting energy without using fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, well, there's lots of energy out there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's exactly it. You know. And okay, I'm going to qualify. I'm going. Go ahead.
We're going to finish up.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to quickly qualify what I think of as fuel because I'm actually lumping in nuclear power in with because that's another source of fuel that has to be mined and pulled out of the ground in order for us to use it. So that would be it. If anything that we have to mine to pull out of the ground in order to use it for energy is now fuel, but we can do away with a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's nice to actually when you consider that. Where do you put this? These spent fuel rods and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to add to the fact that Japanese are helping our the Pacific Ocean glow in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, we both have to live right on the ocean, right? Because your house isn't too far away. You can just about walk to the ocean.
Oh, yeah, I can walk to the ocean in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, the same with me. I can walk to the inlet that's between it's actually between the two of us with White Rock. You know, and it's equally as glowing in the middle of the night at this point.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you very much for this topic and stuff. We are totally out of time. So
yeah, and we have particles and waves coming up here.
That's
on the station.
CITR. But yeah. I will do the IDs and stuff in just a moment.
All right.
So So thank you, Paul, for joining us.
Yes. Find us at Facebook/BC Disability. Or BC_disability on Twitter.
Yes.
All right.
Cool. Thank you very much. See you
later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Paul Gilbert. Anyways, just to let you know, we do have a Facebook web page, facebook.com/groups/CLivingRadio. We also have our email address, communityLivingRadio@gmail.com. So that's mostly it. So station IDs. We have our flagship station here in Vancouver called CITR 101.9 FM. That's on streaming online at CITR.ca. And, of course, we're broadcast on Tuesdays from 1 to 2. We're also on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM in Vancouver. That's on Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m. We also rebroadcast this program as well. And we're also on... I always forget this. Nanaimo, CHLY Radio, 101.7 FM. And you can reach them in Nanaimo, CHLY.ca. Stay tuned for upcoming shows that are on right now. And we leave you with the song Love Me Harder, James Bond theme by Christina Getty from the Postmodern Jukebox. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you all again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.